This is John Leo, editor of Minding the Campus, and my guest today is George Leaf, research director for the John William Pope Center in North Carolina, which deals primarily with North Carolina problems, but also has a great deal of material on higher ed of first importance. George, you just got back from a debate about whether too many people are going to college. You said yes. Why?
I have been convinced since about 1980, when I started teaching college freshmen, that many of the students going to college have little aptitude for it, even less interest. Oftentimes they're indifferent or even hostile to what college teaching should be about. And that is a problem that's gotten worse and worse over the decades since the 80s. Today, large numbers of young people get drawn into college with very, very weak academic backgrounds, little or no interest in academic pursuits. All they want is a college credential because they're convinced that that gets them past the screening that most companies now do, saying, well, you have to have a college degree or we won't even consider you for a wide range of jobs that don't call for the least bit of academic preparation. And so to credentialize large numbers of students at high a cost to them and society for jobs that don't call for any academic preparation, and in truth, when they oftentimes gain little or no human capital in their experience, is, I think, a great waste of resources.
Your adversary in this debate was Peter Sachs, who also writes for Minding the Campus. He's the author of Tearing Down the Gates, argued that we need many more people. We need much more investment in sending the young to college. What do you think's wrong with that debate?
Well, we really don't invest at all. It's called an investment, but just because we induce people to sit through college classes doesn't mean we're investing in anything. Large numbers of people in other countries are getting college degrees. That is true. But it doesn't mean that we have to follow them. It's like the old adage, well, if Peter told you to jump off the bridge, would you jump off the bridge with him?
You mentioned Egypt and Switzerland. Do you want to make that point?
Yes, an interesting comparison. In a book that the higher ed establishment ignores, entitled Does Education Matter? By Professor Alison Wolfe, who's at the University of London, she pointed out that there's simply no connection between the amount of education investment in a society and how well its economy does. Egypt has invested very, very heavily, and they have tons and tons of college graduates, most of whom are underemployed or unemployed, and they were the ones who led the riots last spring. On the contrary, Switzerland doesn't do much to promote higher education. Some people go, but it's not subsidized, and yet the Swiss economy is a marvel. What we really need is more economic freedom, not more people graduating from college.
One of your interesting points, many interesting points you made, is that the current situation puts emphasis against standards, a downward movement of standards and an upward movement of grades.
Yes. That has been pronounced for several decades now. As more and more of these weak and disengaged students enter college, the college officials want to keep them enrolled because they mean money. And so what they have done is to either allow or even encourage the faculty to water down their courses, inflate their grades, and oftentimes to introduce new courses that are fluff. The latest fad, I understand, is courses in Lady Gaga. Mm-hmm. Now, this keeps the students happy. They will keep on paying their tuition money, and they will, many of them, get their degrees, although many drop out as well. But it's not an investment in any sense of the word.
What's the answer? What would you do to colleges to make them more responsive?
First of all, I think we should stop subsidizing them. The federal government should get out of the business of subsidizing higher ed, just like it should stop subsidizing housing and failed companies. More important than that, though, I wouldn't downplay that, but I think even more important than that would be the proliferation of better alternatives to college. And what I have in mind are certification programs where young people will learn some body of knowledge, some skill, and then pass, if they do pass, to get their certification, a rigorous examination. You know, we now have the CPA exam. Well, we need a whole lot more of that type of learning and credentialing to replace the empty taking of courses, accumulation of credits, and awarding of degrees that we now see in the United States. It's just a big waste of resources.
Have you heard of digital badges?
I have not heard of digital badges. Sounds like a good idea.
Charlotte Allen, whom you credited in our debate, is working on an article. The term has been popping up about individual websites and companies starting to award the equivalent of Boy Scout merit badges to people who learn outside of universities. It seems to me that could be a revolutionary system.
That would indeed be revolutionary, and it would be so much more efficient. If people want to learn something because they see that they have something to gain by doing so, they will be far more attentive to the study than if they're simply told, well, you got to take this course to get this credit, to get your degree, and they sleep through those courses. And part of the trouble also is that the people who do the teaching in college these days really don't have much incentive to do a good job. If they're tenured, well, some they might want to teach, but they oftentimes don't. If they're working toward tenure, they're too busy with their research publication requirements to put in much effort. And so the students get the short end of the stick. And that's really bad for the students who wanted to learn something, but the course has been watered down and it's easy and everyone gets an A. Well, that's a waste of their time.
Right. Walking back from the debate, you mentioned that you had so many points you weren't able to cram into the 8-minute format that we gave you. What's the most important point you didn't get to make?
I would have loved to have quoted my friend Steve Balch, who founded the National Association of Scholars, who I think accurately says, we don't so much have higher education anymore as we just have longer education. And what he's getting at there is that young people these days may graduate from college, but they have no more and sometimes less skill and knowledge than did high school graduates of 40, 50 years ago. But that's the consequence of trying to make college for everybody. We've watered everything down. It's now longer education, but it's not more education. And I would also have taken issue with the idea presented by my opponent that if we don't have more and more people acquiring higher and higher formal levels of education, that means we're somehow slipping. We're becoming a less educated society. But that assumes that the best or only way for people to obtain knowledge is to sit through formal education. Now, my dad did not go to college. I have 2 degrees, but I don't think I'm the slightest bit better educated than he was. He had a different education, but he never stopped learning. The idea that you've just got to put more and more people through college to keep up with the Joneses is really a foolish arms race kind of notion.
Well, very good. We've been speaking with George Leaf, Research Director of the John William Pope Center in North Carolina. Thank you very much, George.
Delighted to be on with you, John.